Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. There's a problem with rice crops, but researchers may have a solution. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is January 15th, 2013. We're on day two of Newsworthy Clips, which you can find in your Advanced magazine, pages 24 through 26. Today's news clip is on page 25, and we're talking about rice crops. But before we get into today's news clip, Let's just have a brief review. We'll pick out one or two things from yesterday's article, A Preventative Maintenance Schedule for Men's Health. I've got my two panelists back from yesterday, Carolyn Bug and Nathaniel Dunn. And how are you, panelists?
Oh, feeling pretty good.
Doing well.
Good. Great to have you back. And since you guys were here with me yesterday, let me get your thoughts or at least one piece of information from yesterday that you think might be relevant for our listeners to hear again today.
Well, we were talking about the preventative care for men's health. And a lot of times we avoid going to the doctor until something's really wrong, men and women both. And it's really important that we try to prevent these problems from developing down the road. So we talked about this phrase, down the road, and it just means in the future. So in order to stay healthy, we need to have preventative health care.
Okay.
Just as down the road is a kind of analogy, I wanted to remind listeners to the analogy that kind of made up the broader structure of the article. It told us, you know, a lot of men take a lot of care for their cars, you know, giving it oil changes and always checking to see if something needs fixing or work. But for their health, it's a different story. It's only when they really notice that something really needs to be changed or something's really wrong that they'll take action on those things. And I think that was a very profound point that the article made.
Well, it's very important what that article did say yesterday about men becoming more aware of their health. I did like what you said, Carolyn, as far as getting tests done. And if you think something might be wrong, to get it checked out. A lot of men will, you know, they'll get sick or they'll have a pain and they will just put off going to the doctor. I don't know what it is about men. It's almost like they just hate going to the doctor and they will put it off. And there's so many examples where men will put something off and then they will find out about it too late. So don't become that person. If you feel something is wrong, immediately have it checked out. All right, well, let's check out today's newsworthy clip on page 25. Scientists discover a way to overcome phosphorus deficiency for rice growth. Well, that is a wordy title, right?
Very wordy. So we have scientists discovering things to overcome phosphorus deficiency. So if you overcome something, then it is no longer a problem.
Yeah.
You find a solution. And phosphorus is one of our specialized terms, and it's a chemical element. And here we have the chemistry definition for it. But when dealing with plants, phosphorus helps plants to convert other nutrients so that they can grow taller, stronger. It helps them use the nutrients as energy and part of a building block system.
You say you like gardening.
I do like gardening.
I like your enthusiasm. Yeah, I like the way you said that. You're like, wow, you really do like gardening.
I do.
Now, I know when you garden, you have to, you know, put fertilizer and things on the soil. And, of course, phosphorus is one of those things that's in the fertilizer, yes?
Yes, and we'll kind of get into that later in the article.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're buying fertilizers, there's usually a series of three letters, N, P, and K.
Yeah.
And P is phosphorus.
Yeah. Okay. Are you a gardener, Nathaniel?
Can't say that I am. I cannot say that I am. So I do admire Carolyn for that.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have a green thumb.
Nope. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. Why do we say green thumb?
Green thumb, you know, if you're working in with plants, of course, being green thumb means you're a good gardener. You work well with plants.
Carolyn's got a green thumb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what, when you're in West Virginia, you got to have a green thumb. So, beautiful state of West Virginia, very rural. A lot of people have gardens there that grow their own vegetables and things like that, right?
Yes. So we had flower gardens, vegetable gardens, lots of gardening growing up.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get into that more as we continue through this article. So before we go any further, let's have our first reading. We'll be in that left column on page 25 down to line 24. Scientists discover way to overcome phosphorus deficiency for rice growth. Rice, like all plants, needs phosphorus to grow. But there's a problem for this crop, the most important calorie source in Asia. Much of the soil it's grown on is low in phosphorus, and yields suffer as a result. What's more, world supplies of phosphorus, it comes from phosphate rock, are expensive for poor farmers and won't last forever. So it would be very helpful if rice plants could be altered to tolerate low phosphorus levels. After 15 years of work, scientists in the Philippines, Japan, and Italy have now reported doing just that. The trick was to go back to rice varieties from East India that are known to grow better in poor soils than most. Scientists had identified a strain called Kasalath that they knew could tolerate phosphorus deficiency, but they didn't know what was behind it. They had narrowed down the effect to a particular part of the genome, though, and DNA sequencing later revealed that this region contained a gene that didn't exist in the reference rice genome or in other varieties that do poorly in phosphorus deficient soils. Okay, Carolyn talked about phosphorus in our title of this article, Scientists Discover a Way to Overcome Phosphorus Deficiency for Rice Growth. Nathaniel, what about deficiency?
If soil is phosphorus deficient, it does not have enough phosphorus for these purposes, growing crops, particularly here we're talking about rice.
Okay, so deficiency and sufficiency would be the antonym of that word.
That's true. They are opposites.
Okay, and we begin here with rice. Like all plants, it needs phosphorus to grow.
Yes, so any plant that you have in your garden, growing in the woods, anywhere, they all need phosphorus if they're going to grow into strong, healthy plants.
But
there is a problem for this crop being rice. The most important calorie source in Asia, much of the soil it's grown in is in low phosphorus areas, and yields suffer as a result.
Okay. All right, Nathaniel, help us out with that.
Yeah, much of this soil is low in phosphorus, like we've mentioned, and the yield, what it produces, what this area produces, will suffer. It will decrease because it does not have this phosphorus in the soil. It does not have the nutrients that the plant needs.
Yeah, okay. Now, it is the most important calorie source, form of energy through food in Asia. And now, of course, we think of rice in Chinese dishes or Japanese dishes, Korean dishes, but also we fail to realize that throughout India and Pakistan and Bangladesh and Indonesia and Malaysia, all of these countries, rice is the key starch through all of these meals. So we're talking really 3 billion people in this part of the world rely on rice. So this is a big problem. Now, not only is it a problem for rice, but there is a problem, we find out, with phosphorus.
Yes. So world supplies of phosphorus, which come from phosphate rock, are expensive for poor farmers, and they won't last forever. So this is a limited resource.
Okay. So this thing that we talked about earlier, being part of fertilizer to make soil richer for crops to grow in, well, there's not much of it, and what there is actually too expensive for most farmers to afford. Now, in the next paragraph, we see that what would be helpful?
It'd be very helpful if rice plants could be altered to tolerate low phosphorus levels. So instead of trying to obtain more phosphorus, how about we try to make these plants survive in a different kind of environment, or a slightly different kind of environment anyway?
Okay. We can't change the soil. We can't change the fact that there's a shortage of phosphorus. Maybe we can change the rice. And there were some researchers that spent some time on this.
Yes, after 15 years of work, scientists in the Philippines, Japan, and Italy have now reported doing just that. So these three countries got together and spent 15 years developing rice that can be grown in low phosphorus levels.
Okay, now you can imagine throughout this how many hundreds of tests that they would have had to do throughout this process. So that's why it would have taken 15 years. It's going to take a lot of testing, a lot of different ideas, a lot of failures. Plus, it takes time to plant and then wait for the crops to, you know, yields. And mm-hmm. you find out, was this successful? Was it not successful? Does it work? Does it not work? So, and we start off the next paragraph by saying something about the trick was.
The trick was to go back to rice varieties or different kinds of rice from East India that are known to grow better in poor soils than most.
Okay, now, what do I mean by the trick there? Do I mean these people are being tricky?
No. Here, trick means the secret or the technique that they needed to use in order to solve this problem.
Yeah. Okay, it's the solution. They're not being tricky, these guys. They're just, aha, this is the solution. So they went back, India, all right. And they did their research, and the scientists identified what?
They identified a strain called Kosalath that they knew could tolerate phosphorus deficiency. So this strain, we have this word in our vocabulary focus. See there, an animal or plant that is only slightly different from other animals or plants of the same type.
Okay. All right. Well, we've all seen different types of rice. Right?
Right. Sure. There are long grain rices, short grain rices, brown rice, white rice, all sorts of different kinds.
Okay. So they discovered that this Kosalath rice, it could tolerate phosphorus deficiency. But the scientists, they didn't know what was behind it. They didn't know why it could tolerate the phosphorus deficiency. They were trying to figure it out there, we see. They kind of narrowed it down, right?
Right. So they had eliminated other possibilities and had narrowed it down to the effect of a particular part of the genome. And here, genome is a specialized term, and it's the whole group of genes in an organism. So sometimes we talk about the human genome or some species of animal genome. And here, the rice genome.
Well, what I found interesting when I read this sentence was normally when we think of genomes and DNA, we just think of animals. We think about humans, or we think of, well, we're trying to replicate the DNA of this dog so we could recreate it, or a goat or something like that. And we normally don't think of genomes of plants.
Right.
So, but all of these have genomes, right? So, and then we see DNA sequencing did what?
It revealed that this region contained a gene that didn't exist in the reference rice genome, or in other varieties that do poorly in phosphorus-deficient soils.
Okay, when we talk about the DNA sequencing later revealed that this region, that means, again, the eastern part of India, that rice from there, it contained a gene that didn't exist in the reference rice genome. And the reference rice genome is actually the main genome that they are using as a starting point relative to all other strains of rice. So that's what they mean by the reference rice. That is the central, the constant. And they're saying, well, maybe we need to change what we're dealing with here. And they also didn't find this in other varieties that do poorly. Where?
That do poorly in phosphorus-deficient soils. So this type of rice had a special gene that other rice don't have.
You know, And farmers are amazing with some of the things that they can do. And they have a special feel for their area and the environment and the weather and the ground. And it's amazing what skilled farmers can do to get crops to grow. However, they would never discover something like this without science, right? Yeah. So it's something that these scientists, that now that we do have the technology to study DNA, the genomes of rice, that then they can actually dig into this and say, why is this happening? And so it's remarkable what they can discover and maybe create a solution that will help keep millions of people from starving in this part of the world. Let's get into our second reading for today. In the new study, molecular biologist Rico Gamuyao of the International Rice Research Institute in the Philippines and collaborators examined this gene in detail. They concluded that it is indeed responsible for cassoulet's hardiness in low-phosphorus environments. With the added gene, the plants boosted their grain yield by more than 60% under phosphorus-poor conditions. About half of the world's agricultural lands are poor in phosphorus, and supplies of rock phosphate could run out in 50 to 100 years, noted Leon V. Kouchian, an expert on crop genetics and soil nutrients. These findings have opened up new avenues for improving crop plant phosphorus efficiency. Bill Quinn here with Carolyn Bug and Nathaniel Dunn. We're on day two of Newsworthy Clips, January 15th, 2013. It's on page 25, and we are talking about this article, Scientists Discover Way to Overcome Phosphorus Deficiency for Rice Growth. And our second reading begins there on the left column on page 25, and it actually is line 25 where we start our second reading. And we get into this new study.
This new study in which scientists had discovered this gene that allowed rice to grow in phosphorus-poor soil. We have a molecular biologist, Rico Gamuyao, of the International Rice Research Institute in the Philippines, and his collaborators, his co-workers. They examined this gene in detail.
Okay, so we had researchers, scientists working together on this in the Philippines, Japan, and Italy. And so we're down here in the Philippines, and the people examined this gene in detail, the special rice gene of this cassoulet rice that is grown in East India. And they concluded?
They concluded that it is indeed responsible for cassoulet's hardiness in low phosphorus environments. So they were right that this gene is, in fact, responsible for the ability of this strain of rice to grow without much phosphorus.
And I had underlined hardiness.
Yeah, if you're hardy, you know, you keep up your health well, even in different kinds of circumstances, I'd say.
Okay, resilient, can deal with it. You're very strong. Now, at the right column, at the top of the right column on page 25, make that.
With the added gene, the plants boosted their grain yield by more than 60% under phosphorus-poor conditions. So when they took this gene from the cassoulet plant, then put it into a different kind of rice, they were able to grow 60% more in a low phosphorus condition than they had before.
Okay, so what the scientists can actually do, they can alter the genetic makeup of these plants. And this has been done before. The most prominent one I can think of is corn. Corn has been genetically modified to grow faster. They use that in crops in certain parts of the United States and other parts of the world. And there are complications that come with it, right, Carolyn?
Yes, it's not all roses.
That's right. What do you mean it's not all roses? What do you mean by that saying?
It means it's not all beautiful. It's not all good.
Right.
Not all positive.
When we genetically modify certain crops, there are consequences that come along with this. So with the genetically modified corn, for instance, it created some problems as far as they were trying to prevent certain pests from eating the corn, but then it also then created some other problems with it, and it made the insects even more resistant to pesticides, so you couldn't kill the bugs. And then also the other thing is it actually has some consequences for humans that eat certain strains of this corn. So like Carolyn says, it's not all rosy. We don't know the consequences of this rice They've genetically modified the rice. It's great. It yields more, 60% more in phosphorus-poor conditions. But we would say the jury is still out on this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is possible that there could be other things that come along with this new strain of rice, this genetically altered rice. That may not be positive, but maybe not. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, more testing would need to be done on that. And a lot of times we may not know this for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the impact of this? We've modified this crop, then what has been the impact of this? So, and what about animals that might eat this? Does it affect them? So, all right, we get into our last paragraph of this reading, line 9 there on page 25, that right column, about
half of the world's agricultural lands are poor in phosphorus, and supplies of rock phosphate could run out in 50 to 100 years.
Okay, and so we are talking about 50% of the world's agricultural lands are really poor in nutrients. Part of the problem is not just a natural lack of phosphorus or other nutrients, but there's also over-farming, where a lot of the ground has just been farmed too much. Normally, in agricultural experts will tell you, you grow crops, then you harvest them, and then you give the land a rest. You plant elsewhere. But unfortunately, because of population and poverty, much of the land is over-farmed in parts of Asia. So that's why they are nutrient deficient. So, and then we've got this problem with the supplies of phosphate running out.
Right. And it could run out in 50 to 100 years. So maybe that sounds like a long time, but it's really not.
No. No, it's not a long time. This comes from Leon V. Kochian, who is
an expert on crop genetics and soil nutrients. So hopefully he would know what he was talking about.
Okay, and we finish with a quote from him.
Yes, he says, "These findings have opened up new avenues for improving crop plant phosphorus efficiency." So even though phosphorus could run out in the next 50 to 100 years, thanks to all of this research done by the scientists in the Philippines, Japan, and Italy, we very well could be able to overcome this phosphorus deficiency issue.
I had underlined avenues there.
Yeah, avenue is often another word for road or street. Here, I think, we're talking about a way or a path to do something, maybe also a strategy, a new strategy for improving crop plant phosphorus efficiency.
Strategy or an option or an alternative.
Sure.
Well, before we wrap up today, let's have our feature.
And for our final story today, let's go to Denise, who will tell us more about a new discovery by scientists to overcome phosphorus deficiency in soil.
Thank you, Joe. That's right. Today we are speaking with Dr. Farm, the leading scientist at Rich Soil Labs. Dr. Farm, can you explain to us what this new discovery is?
Certainly. Phosphorus is a very important element in healthy soil. To many farmers around the world, it can be the difference between a healthy yield of crop or a famine.
Oh, wow. That is quite a difference.
Not many soils around the world actually have enough phosphorus.
But your team has been able to figure out how to overcome this.
Yes. After much research, we've discovered there are certain strains of rice and crops that can grow even in phosphorus-deficient soils.
That sounds promising.
Absolutely. It's very exciting. Those strains of rice and crops had a very unique genome not found in other strains.
So the genetic makeup of the crop is different?
Exactly. Now that we know why these strains have been able to grow in low phosphorus environments, we can begin to work on how to incorporate that gene into other plants.
That's such great news. So maybe there is hope for me after all. I'm not good with plants. I can't even keep a cactus alive. Thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Farm.
There is definitely hope for you yet. It was my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Okay, at the top of the program, I talked about Carolyn and her green thumb. She likes to garden. What did you grow?
Well, I grew a lot of different plants growing up. My mom also has a green thumb, and I think I must have inherited it from her.
Okay.
But we would plant daffodils, beautiful daffodils, and different varieties of flowers. But we also had a vegetable garden, cucumber, corn, carrots, potatoes, pumpkins, you name it. It was probably in there.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed taking care of my yard and also planting flowers and things like that, trees, when I owned a home back in America. I actually enjoyed spending my weekends working in the yard. And I did learn a lot about the right time to plant things and not only fertilizer and the soil, but also like when to water things, the right time of day and to do that. So there's certain techniques to this. This is a little bit different what we're talking about here, this rice, the genetically modified rice, and being able to grow in phosphorus-deficient areas. But it is something we need to be aware of. We might think, oh, this doesn't affect me, but it does. It does affect me because this affects billions of people. Rice is such a key staple in everybody's diet in Asia. And so hopefully this will work and it will be a satisfactory solution to this problem of growing of rice having a problem growing in phosphorus deficient areas. And if it doesn't work, then we've got some problems. So, and one of the things we're talking about in the future as the population increases is the issue of food shortages. And so this is really, really important that this problem be solved, because if there are food shortages, then we run the risk. Food and water are a couple of the items that have been predicted as issues that might be political problems between countries in the future, fighting over food and water. So hopefully this will be a satisfactory solution. Listeners, thanks for joining us here today for this newsworthy clip. Come on back tomorrow. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Carolyn.
And this is Nathaniel.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.